I want you to notice there in verse 53 that word all. There were assembled all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes. This is the Sanhedrin. This is the legislative assembly of the nation of Israel. Of course, Israel was under Roman dominion, under Roman jurisdiction, but it did still have a measure of autonomy, just a measure of autonomy. And this is the Sanhedrin now that's meeting. And all, I want you to see that, all the chief priests and the elders and scribes. And Peter followed him afar off, even into the palace of the high priest. And he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. And the chief priests and all the council, notice that again, and all the council, sought for witness against Jesus to put him to death and found none. For many bear false witness against him, but their witness agreed not together. And there arose certain and bear false witness against him, saying, we heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands. But neither so did their witness agree together. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? But he held his peace and answered nothing. Again the high priest asked him and said unto him, art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus said, I am. And ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes and saith, what need we any further witnesses? Ye have heard the blasphemy. What think ye? And they all condemned him to be guilty of death. In verse 1 of chapter 15, and straightway in the morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council, and bound Jesus and carried him away and delivered him to Pilate. Amen. We know the Lord will bless the reading of his word. And as I mentioned this morning, I said I want to look very briefly at the worst democratic decision in the history of democracy. The worst democratic decision in the history of all democratic decisions. The world today enshrines democracy as its standard. But no system of human government, whether it's monarchy, aristocracy, or democracy, is perfect. All are flawed. All are imperfect. The only perfect form of government is a theocracy where God is the king. And God's authority is acknowledged and recognized and submitted to. That's the purest form of government. Democracy is flawed. Now it's had its triumphs. And you can think back in the history of the world to those times when democracy has reached great heights for the benefit of the world. Think of William Wilberforce and the movement to abolish slavery. That awful practice, that degrading, dehumanizing practice of slavery that brought misery to so many. And men like Wilberforce and his companions labored for many years until eventually the law was passed to abolish slavery. And that was a triumph of democracy. And you can think of Amy Carmichael, living as a missionary in the land of India for many years, preaching the gospel, but witnessing the terrible abuses of temple prostitution. And through her effort, her unwearying effort, eventually, in parts of India, laws were passed that abolished temple prostitution. And there have been triumphs of democracy. But remember that simple majority rule, the democratic decision, is not perfect. And it does not determine morality, and it does not determine truth, and it is not always wise, nor is it always safe. Mark records in this 14th chapter the worst democratic decision in the history of all democratic decisions. I emphasize the fact this is the Jewish Sanhedrin, and all the council is gathered together. And that night they had to make a decision. They had to cast their vote. And on that occasion, the Bible says in the verse number 64, the Bible says, and they all condemned him to be guilty of death. This was a majority verdict. This was a democratic decision. And every man in that council, whether he was a priest, a chief priest, or a scribe, or one of the lawyers, every man in that council cast his vote, and there was a majority decision to put Christ to death, to hand him over to the Roman authority in order that he might be put to death. It is the worst democratic decision in the history of democracy. The Jewish council, adding their voices, casting their vote, in order to crucify the Son of God. And on the day of Pentecost, Peter confronted them, and he told it as it really was. He said, with wicked hands, ye have crucified the Lord of glory. The worst democratic decision in the history of democracy. And the reason it was the worst democratic decision is because it was a decision based on a clear testimony. The high priest became exasperated. The law required, in the case of the death sentence, it required two or three witnesses to agree. But they could not find two or three witnesses whose testimony agreed. And he becomes exasperated. And so he asks Jesus directly in verse 61, art thou the Christ? Art thou the Messiah? The Son of the Blessed? Notice his question is direct. His question is pointed. Are you the Son of God? Are you the Messiah that has been prophesied in the scriptures and long awaited by the people of Israel? Are you the Messiah? And Jesus said, I am. I am. He makes a clear testimony. There's no vagueness here. There's no ambiguity here. There's no doubt here. There's no uncertainty here. Jesus claimed to be the Son of God. And what they should have done was to put that to the test, to examine that. Why does the high priest ask, art thou the Christ? Because the scriptures prophesied that Messiah would come. The scriptures prophesied who he would be, what he would be like. The scriptures prophesied where he was born, what his ministry would consist of. The scriptures gave the identifying marks. And what they should have done was to take the testimony of Scripture and examine the life of the Lord Jesus and see if his life fulfilled those credentials. But instead of doing that, the high priest in verse 63 rents his clothes and he says, "What need we any further witnesses? We don't need to go any further. We do not need to carry on with this trial." And you'll see how he makes the decision for the council. He says, "Ye have heard the blasphemy." He's making a judgment. This is blasphemy. "What think ye?" And they all came alongside with the high priest's verdict. And they all condemned him to be guilty of death. Mark it well tonight. The reason why Jesus of Nazareth was crucified upon the cross was because he claimed to be the Son of God. That's why he was crucified. And he was crucified by majority verdict, majority decision, a democratic decision to nail him to the cross and to reject his claim. This decision was based on a clear testimony. It was also influenced by false witnesses. They came with their witness and they said in verse 58, "We heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands." This is adding to the case against him. But of course it was a false testimony. Turn to John's Gospel and the chapter 2. John's Gospel and the chapter 2. And here we have the reference to what they thought they heard. But you'll notice that it was a misrepresentation. They said to Jesus in verse 18 of John 2, "What sign showest thou unto us, seeing thou doest these things?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple and building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. He did not mention the temple that stood in the city of Jerusalem. He said, "Destroy this temple," referring to his body, the temple of his body, the temple of the Holy Ghost. "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up," speaking of his death and his resurrection. But they took his words and they wrested their true meaning. They corrupted what he said. They distorted what he meant. And on the basis of that false witness, they came to this democratic decision to crucify the Lord of glory. But it was also a decision based on faith. Based on faith. It was a matter of faith. Jesus claimed to be the Son of God, and they are confronted now with the choice: do I believe him or do I not believe him? Do I believe what he claims and who he claims to be? The Messiah, the Redeemer, the Savior. Do I believe him? Or do I refuse him? And they made their decision, their majority verdict, their democratic decision. They made their decision on the basis of faith. They did not believe who he said he was. And they all condemned him to be guilty of death. And each one of us tonight, while we are many years after that event, we have the very same decision to make, the very same choice to make. Jesus of Nazareth stands before us tonight. He lived, he was born in Bethlehem, he lived in Israel, he died upon the cross, he rose again. And in his gospel, he stands before each one of us tonight. And the decision is this: do you believe that he is the Son of God? Do you believe that he is the Messiah? Do you believe that he is the Savior? Do you believe that he died for your sin and rose again for your justification? Will you believe him tonight? That's the decision. That's the choice. But sadly, on that occasion, the majority verdict was to reject him. They all congregated together in a crowd. And how easy it is for men in a crowd to make the decision, but to make the decision that is the wrong decision. It was the wrong decision that they made, the wrong choice. They chose to crucify the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And that choice tonight comes down through the corridors of time, the corridors of history, to each one of us. What choice will you make tonight? Pilate realized the choice, for he said, "What shall I do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? What shall I do?" He tried to pass it away, pass it on to others. But he had to make the choice himself. And each one of us here, we've got to make the choice. We've got to make the choice. Will we choose to believe the Lord Jesus in his claims? Or will we choose to reject him? That's how simple the choice is. Make the right choice tonight. Here we are all these years afterwards, considering that verdict that the Sanhedrin made. And the choice that we make concerning the Lord Jesus will not only last throughout the ages of time, it will last for all eternity. It has eternal consequence. And they all condemned him to be guilty of death. It was the worst democratic decision in the history of democracy. In the history of democratic decisions, the majority voted to kill the Lord of Glory, hang him on a tree, put him to death. It is far wiser, it is far safer to be in the minority that sides with Christ than to be in the majority that votes against him. Democracy is not always wise and not always safe in its decisions. And here we have an example, powerful example of that unwise decision that was made. May the Lord help each one of us tonight to make the right decision. Choose Christ. Believe him. Trust him. I was reading in Psalm 4 this morning, and the psalmist said, "Put your trust in the Lord. Put your trust in the Lord." Make the right choice tonight. And trust the Lord. Let's turn in closing to three.